Hi, I'm Carlotta Waldman, and welcome back to Now Faith TV. For some of you, this may be the first video you're hearing because you are signing up for next year's series starting in a couple of weeks. Some of you, it's like graduation day. You've faithfully attended all this time. You've kept your notebook. You've printed out the articles and printed out the prayers. And you really have a pretty good ministry training notebook now, don't you? Hallelujah. I have very, very much confidence in you and in Jesus Christ inside you that you will be able to manifest His sweet fragrance everywhere you go. Hallelujah. I just get so excited about the seeds that we've been honored to sow into you and that you will sow into others, who will sow into faithful men, who will sow into others. Amen. I'm just all excited. It's time to get outside the walls of the church. Amen. It's good to have fellowship. It's good to be taught, trained, and activated, but it's about time to take it outside. You know, a fish is like only able to grow as big as the tank. Like if you put a goldfish in a regular size tank like we have here in America, they only grow about this long. But you put them in an outside pond and all of a sudden they're four or five times, six times as big. Amen. You will grow as much as God, as the environment that you let God put you in, because you aren't really waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Now, He may have teaching and training and mentoring for you. You may need to grow in accountability. You may need to grow in your Bible knowledge, but you can do those things as you go, because everybody's got a testimony to tell. And in Campus Crusade, we taught people to get out there and give their testimony that day or the very next day after they were saved. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking a lot about problems, haven't we? Issues and things that people bring into the church. You know, when we are experiencing this third great awakening, we're going to have lots of people come into the church with real issues, and they're going to be looking for real answers, right? Well, we're preparing to give them those. And, you know, our message is not just about salvation. It's about making disciples and teaching all nations. Hallelujah. We're not just about changing people and bringing transformation into people's lives, but whole systems in cities and in nations. And we've got to do it. The devil is certainly intent on bringing his transformation into cities and nations and even making a new world order. Well, the Lord isn't going to rapture us out. I'm sorry, I'll go head to head with any of you on this. In a way, I believe in the imminent rapture. In a way, I don't, because I believe God has given us a great commission to do, and He expects us to do it. And so that's why I'm sowing these seeds into you. So I saw that there was such a great response to last week's teaching on the wounded burden bearer. I want this week even more to give you the upside, the good side of being a burden bearer, of being a prayer minister. Because I know some of you that have heard, you know, just the free part. You listen to the first video and you don't pay the $10 to listen to the second video. You might be wondering, what's such a big deal about being a prayer minister? Well, it's through prayer that the wars are won. Without prayer, without being filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're just doing things in your own strength. And because God loves those people, He lets there be some fruit. But it's not necessarily gold, silver, or precious stones for you. So think about it. We want to get across to you that God is really moving and things are easier. There's a Holy Spirit anointing. There's an outpouring going on. I hope you will watch the training highlights. I see the attendance to that has been marvelous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you'll share it with other people. Because even though you can't share that much in 1 hour, I'm going to use this time to share a lot more with you of what God has been doing. I can't mention names and I have to say it in general ways, but I want you to picture not just salvation, but a multiplication of teaching faithful men who are teaching others, not just affecting people, but affecting whole systems in the United States, in your country, around the world. Hallelujah. We're so excited that I want to also share some of the testimonies that have come in about the Restoring the Christian Family series. It's being shared in prisons, and some prisons are actually making it mandatory that inmates hear it. So I want to be sharing that with you maybe next time. We're going to ask you to keep those emails coming, keep the testimonies coming. You know, that's what keeps us going. To tell you the truth, you know, someone wrote me recently and they said, how do you do it? How do you keep going? So I started telling them that I'm on Shackley, you know, thinking it's a nutritional or energy issue that they're talking about. They said no. They said the people don't give. And it's true. People have lost sight of giving to the little guy, I guess. Maybe they only want to give to the big ministries that really have millions that don't need it. But we are inviting you to partner with us on an ongoing basis. We have three or four intern applicants right now that cannot come because they cannot get all the money together. They can't just go from church to church and raise support in third world countries like you could if you wanted to come. And I'm encouraging you to partner with us and click on that donate one time button, or the ones that would actually withdraw maybe $10, $20, $50 from your account monthly, and partner with us in teaching and training nationals who will reach their nations also. We need volunteers. We need armor bearers for ourselves. Lou and I do. You don't know the attack that we're under, and sometimes the physical attack that we're under from the voodoo that's put against us. And we need armor bearers that will remember every day to put a hedge of protection, wall of fire around us. Hallelujah. We need intercessors who will help pray for the prayer requests that come in. We've put on those prayer requests. If you only want Lou and Carlotta to pray, to designate it. Otherwise, we need to have you pray in agreement with us, and we will forge you, say, a dozen of those prayer requests a month. If you'd be willing to do that, please let us know. We need you to send in your testimonies in a form that we can share it with other people and encourage them that mentoring is real, internship, ministry training is real, and the effects are awesome. Awesome, awesome. We need still more technical help, if you'd be willing to help us that way. But we, most of all, we want those interns to be able to come. And if there's any way you could give even $10 or $20 a month to help support them, I just appreciate it, because I have, it's either three or four right now who do not have the money to come. I want to share with you this time the blessing of being a minister. Yes, there are hard times. Don't go in it for the money, that's for sure. Yes, there are a few people that are rich, and maybe they're even abusing the riches that they've made in ministry, but most of us are not that way. Most of us, as quick as it comes in, it goes out to help somebody. I have never taken, over a period of year, an average of even minimum wage, and I want you to know that. I am accountable to you. I'm accountable to anybody that asks. I have never even taken minimum wage, so you don't have to worry about the IRS wanting to check us out. In fact, I've never once taken one penny over just my mortgage payment and my utilities here. That's called clergy housing allowance. Never once even gotten into the area of salary. Why am I sharing that with you? Because I want to draw people that are like me. You know, that's who you draw. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. But I want to draw people that are like me, that maybe they only have a little 20-foot office in their home like I do. Maybe you would make videos like this on a home camcorder. Maybe you just wear regular clothes, and I don't have a makeup artist or anyone to make my coiffure. But I want you to know that you can do it that way. We are reaching people in 83 nations just with our home paraphernalia. And you can do it too. We don't have to be spending money on elaborate sets and TV cameras, do we? Yes, it might be more interesting because, yes, I understand that most people have a short attention span. But listen to what God is doing and hear what God has done in your own heart. Paul said, what we do for you. We do for the gospel. He made his choices and decisions based on not how it affected him or his health, his safety, his personal peace in his home life. He made decisions on how it made the ministry a success. And by ministry, I don't mean a bunch of programs. I don't mean a multi-million dollar building. They didn't have any of that. He meant getting the gospel out. And those are the kind of people that I want to draw. So that is the example I set for you. It's not that I've just taken a vow of poverty or something. I break agreement with a poverty spirit. However, I do believe that I only need so much to live and the rest should go for the gospel. God wants to demonstrate His love and power through you. He wants the yoke to be easy for you. He wants you to understand what was in semester 1, 2, and 3 about being crucified with Christ and being able to depend on Christ in you, who's going to live the life, who's going to do the miracles and the healing and the transforming. Jesus Christ wants us to know how to believe Scripture and declare and decree it. Know how to receive prophetic words and not rush out in presumption, but declare them and to war with them until you see them coming true. We're not offering you here in the internship or in these courses academics. I'm hoping that you do have theology courses in your church or in your local Bible school. But what we're offering here is how to apply what you have learned, how to get activated in ministry. It's about Like in my case, I had been wandering in the wilderness for 20 years, and finally I quit wandering. I grabbed hold of God's call and vision and destiny for my life, and I was like a Moses that looked like the most unlikely one on the backside of the desert. But Moses grabbed hold of his vision to be a deliverer. He saw a need and began to fill it, just like Joshua did. Joshua's a totally different personality. He's a warrior. But he saw the same group of people, saw a different need in them, and grabbed hold of it. Daniel was the same way. He was in slavery. Like, you might feel like you have so many restraints around you. How could you possibly make an impact? But Daniel didn't do that. Even through his diet, he made a testimony. Even when he was thrown to the lions, he was a testimony. And God will do the same thing for you that he's done for them and for me. He will raise you up overnight after you have spent that time in ministry training, however long it is for you, God's personal plan for you. Deborah was just a housewife there, and she said that the place was just, it was just oppressed until she rose up as a mother of Israel. Esther was a Jewess, one of the most unpopular people in her area, and she rose up at just the right time and risked her life and laid it on the line. Nehemiah saw a broken down wall, and everybody else saw the broken down wall. Nehemiah had a lot to lose because you don't have a downcast face in the king's presence. But he saw the same thing everybody else saw, but he saw it with God's eyes. And he took God's desire and made it his desire. God gives us the desires of his heart. And he partnered with God in prayer until God let him be the one that made the difference. And that's just what I'm saying to you. I was a person that was wandering in the wilderness for 20 years, and I began to have a passion to take back what the enemy had stolen, not only from me, but everybody I knew. And I heard that Jesus wanted to give us abundant life, but he also wanted to destroy the works of the devil. So now I am an invading force in my community, and we actually move every 2 years so we can invade somewhere else. We are not affecting only just people, but systems like the economic system, the education system, the government, and churches, and commerce, all kinds of areas. I'll be sharing examples with you. I want you to be convinced of what one person can do. I'm in no way have any need to draw attention to myself, but I'm going to tell you real quickly, just bam, 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 some of the things that we have seen God do and areas where he's given us opportunity so that you will understand that this is anything, that this is something that anyone can do. It's not about your ability. It never will be, no matter how capable you are. It will be about your availability for the Holy Spirit of God to do something supernatural through you. We are affecting rulers and powers in the areas we go in. If nothing else, we feel their opposition, and we know that they know we're here. Hallelujah. The presence of God is never ignored. What would happen if every believer went about demonstrating the power and presence of God just every day? This world would be transformed so quickly. We're not just affecting the rulers and powers, we're affecting nations, 83 nations. And the capital outlay for this is under $2,000 probably. You know, we've got two or three computers, maybe $3,000. We've got the camcorder. It doesn't take that much to become an international influence. We are on the offense. We believe the verses that say the gates of hell will not prevail against us because it's Christ in us. I took a prophetic word that I received in 1993. I had received a couple, but this was a major one. Almost every word I've had since then has confirmed that one. And it said what a big difference I would make. And I don't say much about it because I figure until it shows, what's the need in it? But I began to war with it. That means I began to agree with it. I began to declare it. And I began to agree that no matter how backwards things look, you know, when you get a prophetic word, how everything seems to go south instead of north like it's supposed to, I began to agree with God. And I believed that I would learn by sowing into other people's vineyards. And I began to volunteer for four ministries. That's why I'm really encouraging you. Find a way that you can volunteer for us. You can send us referrals. Some people say they're telling everybody they know about Restoration Prayer Ministry once they've received it. Well, that helps. That helps get people's lives changed. And then I began teaching in churches. And those pulpit opportunities were few and far between at that time, maybe just once a month or something, but I started where I was. Then I got an opportunity to teach in two Bible schools, and I was faithful to do that for 3 or 4 years. Because of the fruit that was there, because of Christ in me, I was then ordained as a minister of counseling. Of course, if you're ordained minister, that's all the same, I guess, but that's what they put on it, minister of counseling. And then I began to see what the verse means. It says that your spiritual gifts will make room for you. And what we need to do is encourage you to identify what are the spiritual gifts that God uses you in most commonly, not that He can't do them all, but then look also at the talents that He's given you, the desires that He's put in your heart, and realize that even though you may not feel like you have the ability or the experience or the clout or the degrees or whatever, that God is the one that does the work, and He just needs you to be available and needs you mainly to prepare yourself through ministry training school and mentoring or maybe an internship, but then to show up. Remember that I didn't skip those steps. I had the prophetic words, but I didn't launch or send myself at that point. I probably would have if I could have, but I had wise counselors around me. I went and volunteered for a year and a half in 4 ministries. So that's a lot of free time that I gave to them. And as you, whatever you sow, you know, as you sow, you will start to reap. Then I was teaching in churches. So you see the progression of it. As you're faithful with a smaller thing, God will give you a bigger thing. And then I was teaching in 2 Bible studies. Why am I, Bible schools, why am I telling you this? I want you to realize what one person can do. The first year that I was in ministry, I affected over 300 people. How did I do that? I continued to teach in churches. I continued to hold seminars. I continued to teach in Bible school. I continued to do full-time restoration prayer ministry on top of it. I was one busy woman. But like Paul said, we do it for your sake, not for ourselves. Do you hear the go of the gospel in this? Do you hear it? That once you become impregnated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you have to share it. You realize, and you know, that there isn't any other answer. And people are dying. They're just starving to death out there. And so I began to see that I needed to receive myself as an imperfect person that God is willing to work through. And I went through the basic ministry training school of Elijah House, and that gave me a lot of insights that I've tried to share with you. And then I went on to study the advanced videos as well, and I'm going to be sharing those with you now. Many of you that are just joining us now need to go back. You need to quickly catch up and read those books and do the basic. But then I was also mentored, and then I began to really step out in areas that I had not tried before. Maybe they were in my prophetic word, but I hadn't really done it. You know what I mean? And I had a mentor to go with. I'm offering you that. I hope you'll take it seriously. And it's not me that made it happen, see. I let Jesus Christ do it through me. And I was transformed myself from being a fixer, a rescuer, enabler, to a lean, mean, demon-fighting machine. I'm not so lean anymore 10 years later. But I'm describing my experience that started 10 years ago. Some of you have that Issachar anointing. You are detecting that this is a time and season to step out. You receive the word that in November and December your prayers would be answered and your vision would become visible. And you are beginning to grasp the meaning of the saints movement, that we've had other movements of the latter rain and the word of faith movement and the prophetic movement. We, you know, it used to be just pastors and then there were teachers and then there were some miracles and there was a charismatic movement. But then there was a prophetic movement in the 80s and an apostolic movement where more and more people, even teenagers, were planting churches. And now we have the saints movement, which means God is going to pour out His Spirit and He's going to work through every one of you. Yes, every one of you. He wants to demonstrate His love and His power and His presence through everyone, because actually it's our weaknesses, our imperfections, that make Him glorified all the more, because they can see that there's nothing extraordinary about us. We're just ordinary people filled with an awesome God. Amen. And so I began to recognize what my assignments were. I didn't go into self-promotion, did not go into serious networking. I didn't make a bunch of phone calls. I began to minister to the people that were right in front of me. And I still have that same practice. It's the person who calls me, who sends in the application, who actually sends their first donation that gets on my schedule. I am not out beating the bushes. I meet plenty of people in the course of a day on the telephone or in person to minister to, because God draws them. They are drawn to Christ in me. And so God began right where we were. We were already in a city that's called the high place of the nation, had the second strongest Satanists in the nation there. We were on the street already where the house that held all the witchcraft paraphernalia was. And we were in the city where the head of the Ku Klux Klan was, and a bunch of secret societies, and where the police were basically on the side of the Satanists. And so our mission field was already set. We didn't need to go overseas or anywhere. We have a harder mission field right in the United States, I believe. And so we just began to reverse decades of captivity and decades of slavery right in our own community. And we began to understand what God's strategy was. When the Great Commission said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples and teach all nations," He doesn't want us to just add people to a church and keep adding and keep adding and adding. In our case, this is our call. We're not called just for evangelism and salvation, just to keep adding people in. We are called to be multipliers. And when you multiply, then you're making disciples who will also make other disciples. And do you know that Bill Bright used to say the world could have been won in 32 years if everybody just discipled one effective disciple a year? I thought that was a good one to give you a moment to think about. But what we're doing at Crosswalk Life is we're not just adding followers. Followers are great. Jesus said, "Follow me," and we're all, you know, so commissioned by that "follow me." But the way to multiply is not by leading followers, it's by leading leaders. And so that's why we keep challenging you to believe that Jesus Christ will use the few insights that you get through the Elijah House School and now the Advanced School to actually transform people. And believe that you will have God's favor. As you partner with Him, you are fulfilling His vision and His calling, and you will find His favor. It will be a way that people are drawn to you, even when they don't want to be, because it's the favor of God. And people do want transformation in their lives. They're just not sure if they want church or something, maybe some spiritual harm that they've had in the past. But they do want real transformation. So it's not about your ability. It's about your availability. And I just want to give you a word picture before I go on to all the testimonies in part two. I want you to picture now that you readily agree, don't you, that God impregnated, the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. First, He highlighted the prophetic words to her. She believed those prophetic words and was looking for a Messiah. And when the Holy Spirit appeared to her and started talking about that, she was not surprised, because she had been praying about that already. And then the Holy Spirit actually did physically somehow He impregnated her with a physical Jesus, not just one in a prophecy. And she caught the vision big time. She said, be it unto me, whatever it takes. And that's what we need, whatever it takes. And she caught the vision that the Savior inside her would not only save people, but that He would reach the nations. And she agreed with God's desires. And she received His favor. She didn't have a history of kings coming to her house and giving her gifts. And you might say, you know, I don't have any history of doing this. I don't think anybody's going to believe I can do it now. Well, she didn't have a history of that either. She was just a teenage girl. But she also got the Herod. She got the Pharisees, she got the Sadducees. And so what made her a peak performer? She just agreed with God. She agreed with God, and she took her gifts and her signature strengths, and she let God have them. She had an ability to believe the prophetic word. I suppose she was prophetic. She had an ability to declare and decree God's word, and she did it. And God wants to take you, the gifts that He's given you, and the signature strengths He's already given you, and bring those to your mind so that you will believe He has already equipped me with these things, and the things that He has equipped me with is what I need to fulfill His destiny. And so now if I just, you know, continue in ministry training, real ministry training, not just sermons, but real ministry training, if I get a mentor, I can ask God for a mentor and He will give me one. And that doesn't have to be someone local. We can mentor you from afar. We can mentor you over the phone. And then God will add His favor, and that's really all you need. So now in the second part, I want to share with you, I can't tell you names because of confidentiality, I wouldn't do that, but I want to give you, gosh, about 75 quick examples, I think, of ways that this little ministry here has impacted nations in just 10 or 11 years. So I hope you'll stay with us. Believe me, you'll always get more than your $10 worth on Now Faith TV.